Let me hear you say, the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Amen. Glory to God. How many of you would like to undo the works of the devil in your life this morning? I mean, Jesus already did that for us, but I promise you, if you'll pay attention, if you have opened the door, you know, it doesn't matter whether you do it knowingly or unknowingly, but if you have opened the door to the devil in your life in this particular area, we are going to shut it tight and stop every attack that he tries against you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Are you ready?
Amen.
Amen. Not a whole lot of whatever here. Let's get into it. Praise God. Matthew chapter 12.
Amen.
Matthew 12, beginning with verse number 33. Good to see you this morning. Good to have you with us online. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Have some people traveling around, so they might be online if you are. Amen. But check on there. Let us know that you're watching. Praise God. Matthew chapter 12. Verse number 33, this is the Lord Jesus speaking. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. You know, the fruit just comes from the root. Glory to God. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart, in essence, brings forth evil things. Praise God. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Well, wrong words that we speak are just the fruit of the root of what's in our heart. If something's in our heart and it's wrong, then it's going to come out. It's going to manifest in the words that we speak. So again, what's really in our hearts in abundance is what's going to come out in words. And then he said in verse 36, you know, but I say unto you, every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of. You know, some people don't believe that. That's quite obvious because of the way they talk. But understand this, the word idle there means unprofitable, unfruitful, are useless words, unprofitable, unfruitful, or useful words. And that would include, very much in the Greek, this word includes words that injure or harm another person, words that speak evil against another person. Those are idle words. So an idle word is any word we say that contradicts God's word. Now, you know, we say a lot of words just in fun and jest and so forth, but any word that contradicts God's word is an idle word. And any word that we speak that violates the law of love is an idle word. And Jesus said, you'll give account for every idle word. In verse number 37, he says, for by your words, not only in heaven, but in this life, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. The Amplified Classic Bible says, for by your words you shall be justified and acquitted. The Good News Translation says, your words will be used to judge you, or to declare you either innocent or guilty. So God uses our words. He is empowered by our words to bring blessings in our life. Aren't you glad? Praise God. Amen. But the devil also uses our words, or is empowered by our words, to curse him. I don't know if you realize it or not, but we may not be paying attention to what we say that much, but heaven is paying attention to what we say. And the devil is paying attention, and demon spirits are paying attention to what we say. They track what we say. As a matter of fact, the devil will work extremely hard on you and push you and pressure you to try to cause you to believe things and then say what you believe, because your words, if they're spoken, you know, if they're wrong words, give him access into your life. And so James 1:26 says, you don't have to turn there, but it says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart. So he says, well, I just don't know that words and confession and all that. No, if anyone thinks he is religion and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart, and his religion is useless. The Holman Christian Standard Bible says, if anyone thinks he is religious without controlling his tongue, then his religion is useless and he deceives himself. And so as we go along, and I'm going to approach this from a little bit different angle than maybe you've heard before, but as we go along, we're going to see many powerful scriptures, many strong scriptures, many easy to understand scriptures about the importance of our words and how words, what we say, amen, how we talk, what we say, how words control our lives. Biblical principle. And today we want to particularly emphasize how words either give God access to our lives, amen, or they give the devil access to our lives. How many of you know you don't want the devil to have access to your life? Amen. Amen. The truth is that many people don't really believe what they say matters that much. Or in everyday reality, they don't act like, they may say, oh yeah, I believe that. But in everyday reality, they don't act like they believe their words matter. Amen. We know that because of the way they talk. Glory to God. So, do words really matter? That's the title of my message. Do words really matter? And do we really, 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 really see and understand the significance of our words? Do we understand the importance of words according to what the Scriptures tell us? We all know, for instance, that Mark 11:22 says, or 23 rather, says, "For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say," that's speaking words, "whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, shall have the things he says." Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Notice that. If you believe those things he says will be done, you shall have whatever you say. This doesn't say you'll have what God says. This says you will have whatever you say. He has whatever he says. You get that? Amen. Glory to God. You have whatever words you speak. So not only, listen carefully now, not only are we to believe what God says, of course we're to believe what God says in order to get results and move mountains. But we have to believe that what we say, based on what he says, will come to pass. Get that? We have to believe that what we say will come to pass. So when we believe what we say, based on what he said, then God will do what we say. Amen. It's not just what he says, it's what do you say. I'm going to say that again. When we believe what we say, based on what he said, then God will do what we say. But you have to believe what you say will come to pass. Now, you just can't say anything. You have to say what God's word says. But again, it's what you say that matters, not what God says. What do you say about it? What do you believe and say in your heart? So you see, again, our words really, really, really do matter. Words are important. And the words we speak are extremely significant. God knows the power of our words. Angels know the power of our words and are listening to them. Heaven knows the power of our words and are listening to them. And demon spirits know the power of our words and they listen to what we say. Amen. Spiritual forces and spiritual warfare is real. How many of you know that's true? That's not weird. Spiritual forces, angel and demon spirits and so forth, there is a real spiritual world. And spiritual warfare is real. And all of these spiritual forces pay close attention, very close attention to the words we speak, even if we don't. They're listening to what you say. And they use our words and can use our words to either help us or hurt us. Amen? Now, a lot of people don't know anything about this, but we do, don't we? I said we do in our circles. Amen? But we shouldn't let our guard down in this area, glory to God, because there's obvious things that we're not going to say. You know, we're not going to make a quote-unquote negative confession. We're not going to say, my God doesn't supply my needs according to his riches and glory. But as we go along, you'll see that there's a lot of times that we just say a lot of foolish things that we shouldn't say. Amen. Amen. And so words matter. They either justify us or they open the door and open the door to God in our lives to bless us, or they condemn us and open the door to the devil in our lives. So to remind us of some things, amen, and then in the spirit, we're going to stop the devil dead in his tracks and his attacks against us if and because we've opened the door to him through the words we've spoken. Let's look at Psalms 33. Are you with me? Psalms 33. Verse number 6. Psalms 33, verse number 6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. I mean, think about that. By the word of the Lord, the heavens, the galaxies, everything was made by the word of the Lord. That one scripture alone ought to show us the power of words. Hebrews 11:3 says that God by faith created the universe by his words. In Genesis chapter 1, we read over and over again, and God said. And then what he said came to pass. God said. And when God said something, then the Spirit of God, the power of God, moved and caused what he said to come to pass. And when we say right things, the Spirit of God moves in our behalf to make those things happen. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Again, think about that. And all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Verses 8 and 9. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Verse 9. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. God spoke, and it happened. God spoke, and it came into existence. The whole world, the world, and the worlds, and the universe were created by the words that God spoke in faith. And in the same way, we speak and create our world, the world we live in. Glory to God, with our words. In other words, words spoken yesterday make life what is today. The words we spoke yesterday make life what it is today. Our words give God place in our lives, or they give the devil place in our lives. And in the light of the many, many, many scriptures along these lines and about the importance of words, it's amazing more Christians don't know about this. I mean, this is found throughout the Word of God. Praise God. And it's amazing that more people that do know about it don't take it more seriously, but it's still true. Glory to God. I mean, no matter what you believe, no matter what you say you believe, none of it matters if we don't control our words. Are you listening? Wrong words will completely undo and nullify your prayer. You can pray the greatest prayer, but then go out and talk contrary to what you prayed, and it nullifies your prayer. You can make tremendous faith statements and confessions, but if you go out in just everyday reality, you know, talk the other way, then it nullifies your prayers, it nullifies your faith, and it stops my ability to overcome life's problems, and we don't want that. So let's look at some things and remind ourselves of some things. Many scriptures, we'll just look at a few, but Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 2 says, Proverbs 6:2, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. In other words, you can be trapped, you can be caught, you can be ensnared by the words of your mouth. Listen, if you're a wild animal, you don't want to be trapped. You don't want to be ensnared. You don't want to be caught, because that means you're about to be skinned or eaten. Not a good thing for a wild animal to get caught in a trap. And we don't want to be caught in the devil's trap. Can you say amen? Glory to God. And then Proverbs chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. All by words. How are we caught? How are we trapped? How are we ensnared? By our words. Everybody say, by our words. Proverbs chapter 12 says, the wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips. In other words, the words that he speaks out of his mouth. The wicked. Now this is talking specifically about the wicked, but we just see the application and the power of words in many different places, in many different forms throughout the Word of God. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, by his words, but the righteous will come through trouble. A man will be satisfied with good things by the fruit of his mouth. The New International Version says, from the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things. In other words, the words coming out of your mouth cause you to experience good things if they're the right kind of words. Glory to God. So the wicked are trapped by their own words. They're ensnared. Amen. Something good, bad's about to happen. But right words, wise words, good words bring many benefits to life. And so again, it's just a different applications. Proverbs 21:23 says, whoever guards his mouth and tongue. How many think we should guard our mouth and tongue? Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. S, plural. Troubles. If you don't want troubles in your life, then guard your mouth and tongue. Amen. He keeps himself from troubles, or keeps themselves out of trouble. Is this just confession nonsense? Or is this really, 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 really important? Doubt-filled words. Fear-filled words. Words filled with unbelief. Words that contradict what God said. Whatever God says about you, you should never contradict. If God says you can do it, then you can do it. Whatever, if God says you're loved, then you should not think you're unloved and rejected, so forth. Whatever God says about you, you should believe and say and not go against. Words that don't come from a position of love are idle words that will cause you all kind of troubles in this life. In this life. Are you listening to me? And then Proverbs chapter 18. Let's look at this. We're familiar with Proverbs 18:23, and we'll look at that in a minute, but look at Proverbs 18:6. It says, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul, or a snare of his life, the way that he's living. Many translations say, his mouth calls for a beating. I don't mean that somebody else is going to beat you like, you shouldn't have said that. But I'll tell you, if you say the wrong words, the devil will beat you. Amen. It gives him access. The devil beats up on a lot of Christians because their words give him place in their lives. Ephesians 4:27, you know the scripture says for us to not give place to the devil. Well, if he tells us not to give place to the devil, that means it's possible to give place to the devil. So don't give place to the devil. And one of the primary ways that we give the devil access into our life, the way that we give the devil place in our lives, is by speaking wrong words. See, the devil tracks our words. He pays very close attention to our words. And like I said earlier, he will push you and he will work on you even from the time you were a child. He will suggest things to your mind and pressure you with problems and circumstances to get you to believe and say wrong things. Because when you say them, amen, and it gives him place to come in and give you a beating of some kind. To trap you, to ensnare you, and cause you trouble. But faith-filled words, love-filled words, give the Holy Spirit something to act on. Amen. When we talk in line with the Word of God in faith, that gives the Holy Spirit something to act on. But wrong words, fear-filled words, doubt-filled words, unbelief-filled words, words that contradict what God says about you, gives the devil something to act on. Somebody says, well, I'm not sure I follow that. I'm not sure I really follow that. Well, let me say something to you here. Listen. If you operate in faith, what happens? According to the Scriptures. I mean, by faith, we obtain the promises. So every blessing, every promise, you appropriate, you receive everything that rightfully belongs to you. How do you receive that? By faith. Isn't that right? The Bible says, we overcome the trials of life by faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Isn't that true? Amen. God answers the prayer of faith. He says, when you pray, pray believing, Matthew 11. You know, and then Mark 11, 22 says, whatever you desire when you pray, believe you receive. You have to believe. If you don't believe, James says, let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. So our prayers are answered because we operate in faith. Amen. Prayers don't make faith work. Faith makes prayers work. And so we get answers to prayer because of faith. We overcome the world because of faith. We obtain the promises. Every one of them. We obtain them. That you got saved by faith. You overcome by faith. The answer to all those questions is yes, 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 yes. That's the absolute truth. But what is faith? Faith is believing something in your heart and saying it with your mouth. Faith is a faith that is in the heart. Belief is in the heart, but it's got to get out. It has to be released. And the way you release what you honestly, truly believe is by your actions and by your words. And most of the time, the main way, sometimes the only way you can release what you believe in your heart is through words. That's why I can say boldly, the words that we speak, when we speak right words, when we speak God's word, then the Holy Spirit goes into action in our behalf to cause those words to come to pass. But if we speak wrong words, demonic words, words that contradict the truth of God's scriptures, then the devil has access into our life. And it enables him to go to work in our lives and afflict us and use those words against us and cause us troubles and to cause us, give us a beating, as the scripture we just read said. So are you following me? Amen. I said amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when we speak what we truly believe in our hearts, then heaven goes to work in our behalf. But heaven is not the only one listening to our words. When we believe and say things contrary to the word, that empowers the devil to work against us. And most people, at least in our circles, kind of sort of know that, but they let the truth kind of slip away from them as the years go by sometimes. Believing that the enemy, not realizing rather that the enemy really, really, really works hard to get you to say wrong things so that he can move in and do your harm is a reality we all need to understand. I know back in the day, I'm going back 35, 40 years ago, we had what we call people would say, well, the confession police. I was saying something the other day and somebody said, well, if that's what but listen, and I know some people did some goofy things at times, but if you're saying something you shouldn't be saying, it's good to have somebody say, I wouldn't say that if I was you. I was with somebody the other day, and we pulled up to a restaurant and we pulled right beside the sign that said the handicap sign, And said, well, that'll be us in a couple of years. And everybody else in the car, because there were three other people in the car, said, not me, that won't be me. That won't be me. Blessed be God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But not really believing that what you say matters, gives access to the devil in your life. I want to say that again, not really believing that what you say matters gives access to the devil in your lives. And in the light of all these scriptures, it's amazing why anybody wouldn't know this. And it's amazing why anybody wouldn't take this extremely, extremely, extremely serious. And again, I know in our circles that we've been taught, pretty well along these lines over the years. And so there's some obvious things, what we call a negative confession is just anything that you say that's not in line with God's word. God says, I'm forgiven, then bless God, I'm forgiven. Yeah, but I don't feel like it. I don't give a flip what I feel like. God said it, and that's what I believe and say. But so we're not going to say I'm not, we're not going to say obvious things. We're not going to, like I said, but how do you, this is the way I've always taught it over the years, just how do you talk around the water, just in everyday reality? How do you talk when you're talking to your buddies, when you're sitting around the table? You're not going to sit at the table and go, honey, God does not supply our needs according to His riches and glory. That's a direct violation. But you might sit there and go, we're just the end of the month. We run short. I don't know how we're going to. We just can't pay our bills. We just always come up short. We never have enough money. What are you saying? My God does not supply my needs according to His riches and glory. So, and even beyond that, for us that have been taught these things over the years, you got to watch yourself. You say things like, I just can't take it anymore. I just can't take this or that, and you can fill in the blank. It could apply to 1,000 different things. I just can't take it. And you say it with conviction because you really do believe it in your heart. And heaven goes, ooh. And the devil goes, ha ha ha. I'm going to move in and see to it that you can't take it. Amen. I just can't handle. I tell you, when people, I just can't handle that one, that. I just can't handle it. And you've been saying that for 25 years. I just can't handle that. I just can't handle that. I just can't handle that, whatever that is. And you know what? You just can't handle it. Because it worked to perfection. You got exactly what you believed in your heart and said with your mouth. I'm telling you, lately, just nothing seems to go right for me lately. Oh, praise God. Yes, I know all about confession. Nothing goes right for me lately. I just don't ever get any revelation from God anymore. I have the hardest time in Bible study, It just doesn't seem like God ever speaks to me. Really. I'm just not with it these days. I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. I'm telling you, I just don't know what to do with that kid. I just don't know what to do with them. I don't know what to do about that job. I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. You know my favorite expression, don't you? Shut up. I can't do this. I can't do that. What about Philippians? I can do all things through Christ. Oh, yeah, I know that scripture. I knew that scripture before you was ever born. I can't. The older I get, the more problems I have with fill in the blank. I'm getting a little older, so I don't say that. The older I get, the harder it is for me to. And people say it with conviction. Do words matter? Do words matter? Did we read scriptures that say words matter? Did we read scriptures that in essence say right words give place to God to move in your life and wrong words give place to the devil to move in your life? How many of you want the devil to be allowed to move in your life? He has legal access, a right to do certain things. You know, Brother Hagin told this story way, way back. If I can remember the details, I'll get the important parts right. But he actually went to the hospital to pray for a young man. Now, there was, you know, millions of people that would want him to come pray. But this particular young man was a friend of Buddy Harrison. Buddy Harrison was married to his daughter, Pat Harrison. And so he was a pretty good friend of Buddy. So he knew him through Buddy. And this young man was associated with Rhema. And so, you know, he knows him personally. It'd be like you know each other personally, but you don't know somebody, you know, down the, you know. And so he knew him personally. So he was, because of his close connection with him, this man became deathly, a young man. I believe he was 29. He might have been 39, but I'm pretty sure the story is he was 29. And he became deathly ill. He's near death. He's at the hospital, and he's in a coma. So, brother, they're in Tulsa. So Brother Hagin actually went there to pray for him. Well, they're there, you know, they're all in the room, and he's over to the side, and he's praying, just praying to himself, praying in tongues and so forth. And while he was praying, now listen to him, the Lord said, this man set spiritual laws into motion with his words. This man set spiritual laws into motion with his words long ago that cannot be changed at this time. And the man died. Now this is back in the, still the heyday to me, but this is back in the heyday of the Word and Faith message. These people, you know, the family members and so forth, they believe the Word. They're strong faith believers. You know, they don't doubt God's goodness at all. They don't have any trouble with God. But they do have questions about why we couldn't keep him alive, why our prayers didn't work and so forth and so on. And so Brother Hagin's there, you know, or he saw them later at the funeral, and they're saying, well, you know, we know God is good, but why did this happen? And you know, Brother Hagin a lot of times would say, well, how do I know? You know, how would I know unless the Spirit of God specifically told me? But in this case, he told the family, he said, if this helps you, I'll just tell you what the Lord told me. And he told them. He said, the Lord told me as I was actually in the hospital room praying for the man that words were spoken long ago. Amen. By him, with his words were spoken long ago that set spiritual laws into motion that cannot be changed at this time. Now let me just add this, later on in hearing him preach and teach in general terms about things like this, he said sometimes when people set spiritual laws into motion with their words, they are the only ones that can change them. In other words, your prayers won't work for them. They've done certain things and believed certain things and said certain things with conviction for years and years and years and years, and they're the only ones that can. Well, this young man's in a coma. He can't change his words. And so Brother Hagin told the family that, and they just looked at him with shock and amazement, and they said, listen, this is amazing, because he wasn't 30 years old. He's only 29 years old. And he said, his brother said, his whole life. I'm telling you, he is his whole life. Even as a little 8-year-old boy, a 9-year-old boy, he said with conviction, I'll never live to be 30. And everybody said, yeah, we heard him say it over and over. I'll never live to be 30. I'll never make 30. I'll never live to be 30. Now why would he say that? I don't know. But I'm telling you, you can look back when you were just a 7-year-old, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old, 13-year-old, 14-year-old. Did you ever have some thoughts that were just, as you look back on them, that were just goofy thoughts? I mean, the devil tries to make kids believe all kind of things, because he wants to destroy their lives, even as a young child. And so he'll say things, and he'll push them and drive them to believe nobody loves you. Nobody cares about you. You're not smart. You're not smart like the other kids in your class. You're not smart. You're not normal like everybody else. You're different. You're a weirdo. And you from the outside can be looking at it and go, that's not true. That's absolutely not the truth. But you see, you don't even know they're having those thoughts. That's why it's so important to be a, a man, a woman, a parent of faith and pray and intercede for your children. Glory to God. You're really a boy, but you're really a girl. And you see, not only does the devil do that to 8-year-olds and 14-year-olds, he does that to 25-year-olds, and he does that to 40-year-olds, and he does that to 60-year-olds, and he does that to 70-year-olds about their current state of affairs. And so, what's he doing? Because he's working hard to get people to really genuinely believe, I'm not smart. And then what do? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The scripture we read, they start saying, you know, I'm just not smart like the other kids. I just can't do it. I'm just not smart. Well, is any of that in line with the Word of God? And you see, when somebody actually says it, then it empowers and enables the devil to have access into their lives to come in and cause them all kind of troubles and make that word come to pass in their life, even though it is absolutely, absolutely not the truth, even though they think it's the truth. It feels like they're a man trapped in a woman. It feels like they're not. It feels like they're going to die young. And they really believe it and they say it. That's why it's so important that we cast down wrong thoughts. Can you say amen? I just heard recently Jerry Savelle say, Brother Jerry, I just recently heard him say, just in the last two weeks, you don't cast down wrong thoughts with thoughts, you cast down thoughts with words. And so 101 different things that are absolutely not true, the devil will try to sow into your mind. And he especially does it with children sometimes and young people. Glory to God. And so this man who said with conviction, for whatever reason, you're going to die at 29. You're not going to make 30. You'll never make 30. You know, I heard somebody the other day. They were talking about their grandfather and their grandfather. Their grandfather and their great grandfather died early. But like both of them, if I remember the story correctly, both of them died at 21. And they said their grandmother said, showed them a picture of them in the casket. You know, you're just a little kid. You look just like them. You look just like them. And this man said, you know, just somehow or another, just begin to, you look just like them. Here they are in the casket. Grandfather died at 21. Great-grandfather died at 21. You're the oldest son now from the next generation. And you're probably going to die at 21. But he said, thank God I got a hold of the Word of God as a young man. And that, you know, and didn't believe and never said that. Can you say amen? Pollen makes me sick every time this year. I'm telling you, I'm sick for that. I'm telling you, I can't take this. I just can't take this pollen. It just makes me sick every year. Really? You believe by stripes you're healed? Oh, yeah, praise God. I can't take this pollen. We always run short at the end of every month. We run short. It just happens every month. Keith Moore tells this story. You know Brother Keith. And Keith has his own plane today as he travels all over the world, but he said back when he first started in ministry, he said, you know, I'd fly on commercial airlines, go overseas. You know, those are long, long flights when you go overseas. You have to get to New York or Chicago or wherever. Then it takes you 8 or 9 hours to go to Europe. And then if you're going to Africa or going to the Philippines or something, it takes you another 8 or 9 hours. Well, in those days, I don't know if you remember, back in the 80s, you could smoke on planes. And Keith said, you know, I couldn't afford to buy first class or business class, and you know, you're just back there and they especially smoked in the back of the plane. But I've been on a lot of planes that for whatever reason I was on the very back row or the third to the back of the row, because I was like him, you know, you're just trying to get the best seat you could at a cheap price, and you're back there and everybody lights up. And he said, I just can't handle this smoke. And he said, I said it with conviction. In other words, he really believed in his heart. He said, I can't handle the smoke. I can't handle the smoke. I just cannot handle this cigarette smoke. I don't like it, and I can't handle it. And he said, I'd get to where I was going, and he said, my sinuses would be messed up, and my throat would be messed up. And he said, I couldn't hardly talk. He said, I'm telling you, you just can barely talk. And he said, I did that for months, you know, and several little trips, going here and going there and sitting back there with the smokers, and everybody's smokers. And he said, I just can't handle this. And you had all these throat problems and sinus problems, and especially, you know, right after the flight. And he said, so I'm talking to the Lord about it one day. Lord, you know, I believe in divine healing. By his stripes we were healed. I believe that with all my heart. Then he said, I just heard myself say, I can't handle that cigarette smoke. He said, I went, oh. Lord, I repent. I refuse to say that anymore. And he said, you know what? He said, I still don't like it. But he said, I can handle it. If I'm forced into that position, I can handle it, and it does not bother me. Do words really matter? I said, does words really matter? We're there in Proverbs 18. Let's look down at verse number 21. A lot of scriptures. We read some of them. Death and life and the power of the tongue. Does it get any more serious than that? I just don't know if I believe and follow all that teaching on the words you speak and whether they matter or not. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. It does not get any more serious than that. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Amen. Glory to God. In other words, those who talk, those who speak, and one translation says, will bear the consequences of what they say for life or death. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and whatever comes out of your mouth, you're going to bear the consequences of that for life or for death. Why? Because when you speak words of life, when you speak what the Word of God says, when you are in agreement with the Word of God, and you really believe it in your heart, and you speak what God says, that looses and enables the Holy Spirit to release His power to go to work to cause that to come to pass in your life. But when you speak negative words, words that contradict the truth of God's Word, fear-filled words, all of that kind of junk, when you say those things, that opens the door wide to the devil to move in and cause those negative, unholy words to come to pass in your life. Hallelujah. Say, words really matter. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. If that's the only scripture we had, it ought to make us sit up and take notice. But we have hundreds, really. That's serious. Now, the Lord told Brother Hagin, said, this man set spiritual laws into motion long ago. And then when we talked to the family, we found out, that's right. For whatever reason, with conviction, hundreds of times from an early age, this man said, I'll never live to be 30. The Lord said, this man set spiritual laws into motion long ago with his words, and they cannot be changed due to the circumstances. Well, the circumstances was this man was in a coma. But you and I are not in a coma this morning. I don't think anybody's in a coma. Nobody's even asleep, I don't think. 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The word destroy could be translated undo or nullify or stop. Jesus was manifested to destroy, to undo, to nullify the words of the devil. We've all said things we shouldn't have said. We've all opened the door, sometimes unwittingly, unknowingly, but our words have given place in our lives to the devil. But we, this morning, can nullify and stop and undo those words and keep them from working against us. I mean, Ephesians 4:27, give no place to the devil. We know that scripture. We all realize that unforgiveness and bitterness and strife and fussing and fighting and arguing with somebody, that would give place to the devil. How many of you know that's true? That would give him place in your life, wouldn't it? Then no matter what else you're doing, it doesn't matter. The devil's got a legal right to be there. And so how would you stop that? What would you do? I mean, is that just it? You're just going to experience trouble for the rest of your life, and the devil's going to beat. No, you could repent. You can say, I should not have done that. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. Glory to God. Forgive me. And when you ask the Lord to forgive you, amen, and confess that it's a sin, you kick the devil out of your life, and then that door would be shut so that he cannot hurt you anymore. Well, you can do the same thing about any or all words that you've spoken that did give him access into your life. So stand up with me. Stand up with me. And I want you to say this. And I want you to say it with conviction. I want you to mean it. Glory to God. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes.
Say, Father,
I believe you.
I believe
my words
are extremely important. Because that's what you said in your Bible. Forgive me for speaking foolishly. For saying anything that contradicted what you said in your word. Forgive me for speaking words the enemy could use against me. Right now, I speak to every demonic spirit. And I say this, I render null and void all words I've ever spoken in fear of death, in fear of failure, and in doubt and unbelief. I render those words of no effect. I render null and void any word and every word that I have ever said that contradicts what you said. In the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And I condemn, I stop every word ever used against me, ever spoken against me, and render them of no effect in Jesus' name. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 And this is something that you just don't say, okay, amen. Nice little, amen, praise God, hallelujah, and forget about it. No. This is something that you live by. To this day, I tell people, and it's not uncommon for me, just within my own self, I don't do it to my, but I'll be talking to somebody and they'll go, and you know, and they're trying to get you to agree with it. And I find myself going, then I'm going, no, I don't agree with that. I don't know. That's not in line with the Word of God. That contradicts the Word of God. And if I ever do agree with it, I'll say within myself, I don't try to correct them necessarily, the barber or the waitress. I'll say within myself, no, I don't believe that. And I'm not going to say that because I do not believe that. And I don't say things I don't believe. Why would you say something you don't believe? And I'm not going to give access to the devil in my life. I want God to have full control and access into my life and move in my life as He wills, whenever He wills, however He wills. So I'm going to speak. The word confession, just literally means to say the same thing. Confession is just saying what God says, just agreeing with God. Whatever God says about you, that's what you say about you. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the high priest over our confession. Well, give God something to work with. When you say what He says, then He has something to work with. When you say what the devil says, he doesn't have anything to work with. But when you say the wrong things, then the devil has something to work with, and you don't want the devil working in your life. We kick him out and keep him out and take this to heart. So what I started to say a while ago is every week, sometimes I'll be sitting there, or to myself, I might just say, well, then I go, no, no, and I'll start to say, and I go, no. I'm not going to say that. Or if I do say it, I mean it. I'll say, no, I don't believe that. In the name of Jesus, I don't agree with that. I'm not going to say that. Went through a spell not too long ago. It was like, man, I just don't know where. Most of the time at the drop of the hat, I could preach 10 different messages. And most people wouldn't even know I hadn't studied for them, but at the drop of a hat. But I was just at a point of, I just feel so dry. I just feel so dry, and I don't have any inspiration lately, and I have the hardest time trying to come up. Shut up. Look at your part. No, don't.
I have no
point to yourself and say, shut up. Come here, Kate. Come here, Miss Kate. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You understand what we're talking about? Life and death. Life. We're talking life and death. It can't get any more serious than that. Life and death. Thank you, Jesus.
When I was in first grade, my mother was helping me with my homework. And she was getting frustrated with me because I wasn't getting it, understanding it. And she said, "Why are you so stupid?" Mm. That was first grade. Those words stayed with me all the way through school.
Wow.
Why are you so stupid? Because I had two sisters that were straight A students or were known for how intelligent they were. When I graduated from high school, and I thought, wow, I'm graduating from high school. That was a biggie. My dad said, "Where's your scholarship?" Not congratulations, you graduated from high school, but where's your scholarship? And so it went on like that. But then I got married, and I married. He never said I was stupid. He never said I couldn't do it. Matter of fact, he believed I could do it, and I wasn't going to do it. Well, we were both in the military, so I had, GI Bill. And so if I go to school, they'll pay me to do it. And Gary was working on his master's in journalism. And so we needed the money. So he said, "You need to go to school, because we need the money." Well, I had an 11-room house. I had two children. One was in first or second grade, and a toddler. And I went full time. And I said, "Okay." He said, "Even if you make C's, that'll be good. That'll be good." And I felt like people were knowing I was going to go to college, me go to college, and that they were waiting for me to fail. Expecting me to fail, because after all, you're stupid. And you're not like your sister. You're not like your brother. You're not like so-and-so. Well, I went to school. I had a full load. And I'd cross the campus, and I'd be praying, crossing to each class. I'm talking to God the whole time. "Thank you, God, you're with me. I'm going to that next class. I'm going to that next class. Thank you, God, you're with me. I'm going to the next class." Okay, the day we got our report cards or whatever, my sister from Illinois was visiting me. And I said, "Oh, my grades are here." It came in the mail. And I opened it up, and I made the dean's list. That's God. That was the grace of God. But I had one extreme to the other. And my sister got to see it for herself. Because I don't know if they would have believed it if she hadn't seen it. But she went home, and then I got a card from my brother. Because in my family, it was called Berg's Pride. Either you excelled in athletics or in school, in grades. Well, I didn't exactly excel in any of those things. And so before I know, I got a card from my brother, who was in the Navy, and he said, "I knew the Berg genius was there." I'm going, "Oh, really? Did you really?" But he was proud of me that I did it. But so don't say you can't. That's a lie. No matter how close that person is to you, God's closer. And he knows you. He made you. And he says he'll make you smarter than your teachers. But I worked hard. Better believe that. And I used to study with my toddler on my lap. And I worked hard. I probably worked 2-3 times harder than most people would. But so that was the grace of God.
Yeah, that's good testimony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So praise God. And then we moved a lot, so then I left school. So I never did go back. I think one year we moved so many times, we didn't know what our phone number was.
Amen.
But anyway, it's good.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Well, the words we speak are obviously important, but
her first
go ahead.
Her first report card was four A's.
Four A's.
Straight A's.
Amen. So obviously, you know, and that's another method, but you need to make sure that the words you speak about other people, particularly your kids. Come here, you little idiot. You're so dumb. You'll have to be a ditch digger. You'll never amount to anything. You'll probably wind up in jail. Oh, God help us. Close your eyes and bow your heads real quick. If you're here this morning, the greatest confession you can ever make is, Jesus is the Lord of my life. If you're tired of the misery and tired of the anguish and tired of all the junk that goes on and the shame and the embarrassment and the strife and not knowing that you're right with the God of the universe, you can change all that this morning by simply saying, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, that He died on the cross according to the Scriptures. He took my place on the cross. He was raised from the dead for my justification, and I believe that, and I right now accept Him and take Him and confess Him as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm not going to call you to the front while every head is bowed and every eye is closed. If you'd like me to pray that prayer with you, would you lift your hands high for me, please? Let me pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, found out a long time ago that no matter what you're praying about, even if a sinner's in the building, glory to God, they can recognize God and see that everything's real and genuine. Now look up at me. Here's why we say this all the time. So don't just say it this morning, and I'm sure you don't anyway, but don't just say it because it's something we say. Say, I am. Say, I am. Who God says I am. I have what God says I have. And I can do what God says I have. And I refuse to say anything to the contrary of that. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. God bless you. We love you so much. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.